All right. How's everybody doing?
Blessed.
All right. Praise God. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Praise God. We'll have Drea pray, and then we're going to get into the Word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for your many blessings, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for an opportunity to sup with you once again, dear Lord. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your precious word, dear Lord, that comes directly from your Holy Spirit, dear Jesus, that teaches and ministers to us, dear Lord. I thank you for an opportunity that Sandy has had, dear Lord, to be before your throne, dear Lord, for the sake of the flock, dear Jesus. And we ask, dear Lord, as he stand as a vessel, as a conduit to your word, dear Lord, that we've come in expectation to hear from you today, dear Lord, that we write down, that we study to show ourselves approved, dear Lord, as you speak to us and through us on this day, dear Lord. I thank you and we bless you, dear Lord, for the man of God, dear Jesus, that stands before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Okay. Trying to get all those people out of the front door.
Can you close that door for me?
Yeah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. You guys ready for the word?
Amen.
All right. Let's start off here by thanking everybody for, and all of our YouTube members also, for joining us today. Thank you guys, wherever you drove in from, we appreciate it. I love having people here. I hated the 2020 times.
I know, right?
At meals, most time it was just me and Pastor Ben.
Yeah.
Getting a understanding from the Lord that we have a very short time to be here. And deception is greater than it's ever been. Even a lot of God's people are being deceived. And it's, I'll say, like, it's a sad thing to the Lord that we're so close and that there's so many people still not listening to God and still not watching. You know, if my mother said she wanted me to do something, it was one thing. But if she ever said, "I'm not asking you, I'm telling you," that changed the momentum of the whole thing. And Jesus said to watch and pray. And watch does not mean, you know, you just stand around and just let things happen. That you're supposed to be intelligent. You're supposed to be in your word. You're supposed to see what the world is doing. You want to see where this deception is coming from. You're not just supposed to be some blind Christian wandering through life, believing every doctrine and doing everything that the world tells you to do. Who's ever popular to them, they popular to you. No, there's some things that God said, watch and pray. Make sure that you are watching and praying. You understand?
Yes. Yes.
So here we are in an hour that most of the world have no idea the hour that we're in, except people who are really born again Christians and following God. And some of them are you on YouTube, and even Satan's trying to get them on YouTube because there's a whole bunch of absolute nuts on YouTube.
Amen.
Got one guy teaching a 14-year tribulation and three raptures during the tribute. I was like, what kind of nut is this? And has a channel and got tons of members. And I said, you know what? And the only reason I knew about it is because some of our people were saying, have you heard this guy? I think some of what he's saying is pretty cool. I was like, this is a nut. So we have to be careful and watching and praying what we listen to, who we're listening to, because the word of God is the only truth that you need to hear. You understand?
Yeah.
Nobody has to convince you of something that God has already made clear. sitting there arguing with somebody whether water's wet or not. Like, well, Pastor Sandy, you should listen to him, because after you hear what he's got to say, he might make some sense that water may not be wet, Pastor. And they're trying to get me to join in. I'm like, you know, with stuff that's obvious, like there may be 14 years of tribulation, and you should. I was like, dude, I got no time to argue with people. Rather, water's wet. That's stupidity. So watch and pray is not a suggestion. Watch and pray is a commandment.
Yeah.
Be not deceived is not a suggestion. Be not deceived is a commandment.
Yeah.
Study to show thyself approved is not a suggestion. Putting God first is not a suggestion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. You understand?
Yeah.
And until we get it, man, the world is going to be like having fun trying to bounce us around. But you've got to plant your feet and say, Jesus is the only thing that matters, and I'm going to stand my word till he comes.
Amen.
Because the prophecy is about to be fulfilled. We're on very short time, and this prophecy is about to be fulfilled. And someone was saying, well, oh, Pastor Ben, I'm sorry I have to say this, but there was a, he said, the people are going to be, man, what was he saying? It was crazy. I'll think of it in a second. Like, it hit me, and then I was like, that was just absolutely crazy.
I want to hear that.
But we have to understand that the word of God is real.
Yeah.
And it's not so difficult. You have to figure it out. And when you get people coming out with new stuff, don't try to just jump onto it, because everybody, do you know they pay people to come in and to approve of false teachers and to say good things and type good things? Those are people on staff. You know that?
That's crazy.
They pay them to come in and write good comments about bad teaching so that you'll think, oh, they're popular and other people are listening to them. And so the whole deception, but listen, heaven is real. It's waiting for you. Time is short, and we have to make sure. That's why the Lord had me preach last week. The war is still on.
Yeah.
As long as you're on earth, you have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I have to teach to you today is teaching. And so I want you, if you have your Bibles, to kind of follow with me and understand what I'm saying before I move on. Okay?
Amen.
I don't want to say something and you don't understand what I said, and then I move on. I want you to clearly understand what I'm saying, because if you don't understand, you won't understand how close you are, okay?
Amen.
And if you don't know how close you are, you'll play around like you're not that close. And God is not interested in being second in anyone's life. Okay? I'm letting you know that now. God does not want to be your other girlfriend or your other boyfriend. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He's not into being second. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all other things will be added to you. Isn't that a great promise?
Beautiful.
If I seek you first, everything else I need will be added to me? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great promise. So do that, okay?
Amen.
We're going to start off today's Bible study, and it is a Bible study, in the book of Revelation chapter 19, okay? So let's go there. Joanne and Dave.
I'm listening to Amen Corner.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Revelation chapter 19. We're going to be in verse 10. Oh, I'm going to start at verse 9, okay? It says, then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet and worshiped him. But he said to me, the angel said to John, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? So I want you to understand that the testimony of Jesus, which is the word of God, is the spirit of prophecy. Meaning that what everything that God wrote, Jesus is the word of God, everything he wrote is a prophecy of something that has to be fulfilled. Okay? The earth has been around for a long time and a lot of prophecies have been fulfilled. Okay? We're living at the end and there's still prophecies that have to be fulfilled. And you are a big part of one of the biggest prophecies in the Bible, and that is the wedding of Jesus Christ to the church. You're a big part of that. So this is why God is saying to stay ready. He wants as many of us there as possible. Okay? And he's not going to do it with people. That's what the guy said. The bride, if there's a thing called, the sleeping church, those that don't get raptured, they're still the church. They were just sleeping. But God's going to come back and rapture them later. And I'm like, you are nut.
When did that happen?
Because if you're sleeping when God comes,
you missed it.
You're no longer part of the bride.
That's right.
But people were sending this to me. Oh, we still have a chance, Pastor. We're the sleeping bride.
Really?
I'm like, there's no such thing as a sleeping bride. Show me the sleeping bride in the Bible. So there's no such thing as a sleeping bride. If the rapture happens and you don't go, you are no longer considered part of the bride.
Amen.
You have to be now one of the faithful who are willing to die for the name of Jesus in the tribulation.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So please understand that. So these are just some of the crazy things that were on this site that I was like, who's listening to this person? But the war is still on. You know what I mean? The war is still on. Good, awesome, born-again Christians are now saying they hate all the Jews because the true Jews are black. So I got all these used to be great brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, but they were black. But now they're like, we hate the Jews and we're the true Hebrews. And I'm like, you are a true nut. That you haven't studied the Bible. So it's like in the end time, right before, see, Satan's still fighting, right? Satan's still fighting. Now, how would you like somebody still be fighting and you don't put your dukes down?
Right.
You're going to get jacked up. If you fighting, I'm fighting.
Right.
And as long as I'm here, I'm fighting. So I'm staying in my word, okay? Because he's trying to get you with anything that tickles your ear.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So that's the first thing I want you to know. Do we get that? The word of God is prophecy.
Yes.
Do we understand that?
Yes.
From the very beginning, as soon as he says in the beginning, Bereshit, he starts prophesying about the future. And everything's about something that's going to happen.
Yes.
Let's continue to read this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read beginning at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. And Jesus is talking to God here. He says, with burnt offering and sin offering, you were not pleased. And he says, then I said, Jesus himself said, I am here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will. So Jesus says this. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. Now, in some your verses, it will say the volume of the scriptures are about me, okay? So what Jesus is saying, it is written about me, but he uses the word, the volume of all scripture is about Jesus. And he wants you to know the book is about him, okay? Everything is about Jesus and what he's going to do, and the name that he's given to mankind is Yeshua. It's not Yahuwah, it's not all this stuff, it's Yeshua. You don't know what it means? He will save, okay? So Yeshua is coming, and Yeshua is going to save, and he already has saved. Do you understand?
Amen.
So he says the volume of the scripture. Now, the word volume in the Greek is a word. Let me see that. 17. Was I? Okay. Is a word kephalos, which means the extremities of the word. It means everything about the Bible. The letters, the numbers, the words, the tips, the jottles, the tips and the jottles, and are all about Jesus. Everything in the Bible is about Jesus, okay? So we need to understand this once we begin to read the Bible, because as we're reading, see, if the Bible is boring to you, it's because you're not looking for Jesus in every story. Because in everything has something to do with Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't read the Bible to look for what he's talking about you. You look for what he's talking about Jesus. What is this saying about Jesus? Not about me, about Jesus. And then you'll get it. If you read the Bible and he says, I think that means for me to know, what does it mean about Jesus? You understand? And then that will minister to your spirit about you. But it's always going to be about Jesus first.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Let's continue going backwards. Let's go to Luke. Because I can't get to the Bible study until you understand this. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. When you get there, say amen. He said to them, Jesus says to them, this is after, you know, he's been resurrected, he done ate fish in front of it, and he said, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, that's the Torah, in the prophets, the Nevi'im, Isaiah, all of the prophets, Jeremiah, and in the Psalms. So he said, every book in the Bible, all of this stuff has to be fulfilled. It's not just written to be written. It has to happen. Ah, do you guys understand now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to do one more. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. I'm talking about something that has to happen. I'm not talking to you about something that might happen. Listen to me, you guys. This what's about to happen in the world is not something that may happen. It's something that's going to happen.
Amen.
And whatever side you're on at that time, that's what side you're on. But God is saying, be prepared, because this is going to happen. Because I've spoken it, and what I spoke needs to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. It says in Isaiah 46, I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, remember this, fix it in your mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, the ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You hear that?
Amen.
So he said, remember everything from the past that I wrote and everything that's been fulfilled. Because as it's being fulfilled and as it's happening in front of the whole world, they need to remember that that God is God and there's no other God, and he's going to do everything that he wrote. And that's good news to me.
Yeah.
Because that means that the rapture is going to happen. That is not, it's like how the people were waiting for the nation of Israel to be born again, right? They were waiting and waiting, like, when is it gonna happen? When is it gonna happen? When will we be back in Israel? Is this gonna be fulfilled? It seems pretty impossible. There are hardly any Jews even living in Israel right now. Maybe about 100 at the most or so. And it says all of them are scattered throughout the whole world. And now Hitler's killing six million of them. And then they don't have a homeland. Is it ever possible that Israel is gonna be back in the land, and the land will be called Israel, and they'll be there? The Bible says it's going to happen. But for all of these 2,520 years that they weren't there, people were like, will that prophecy really ever be fulfilled?
Mm.
Until one day, in 1948, they renamed the land from Palestine to Israel. And in front of the whole world, prophecy just got fulfilled. And people were like amazed at the time. But you know what that happened? You know what happened? Like 9/11, it wore off.
Yeah.
You understand? It wore off. People stopped thinking about, wow, that was an incredible miracle, the Israel being back in the land. After a while, it kind of wore off. And then people went back to doing what they said. Well, you know, let's see if God can do it again. Of course, in 1967, he did it again. But it wears off. You understand? God fulfills prophecy. He's doing things right in front of us. And things jolt you for a minute, then you want God, and you're like, oh, God is coming. And then you're like, okay, let's go back to the mall. You know what I mean? Everything's over. But God's word is going to be fulfilled, okay? Now, I want us to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Because I want you to know that the Bible does not speak of one Adam. The Bible speaks of two Adams.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Adam that God created, and there's the Adam that came into the world as God and is a life-giving spirit. You understand?
Yeah.
So the Bible talks about two Adams. And both Adams, the first Adam is written as a prophecy. The second Adam is written as the fulfillment. Okay? So the first Adam is a prophecy. So we're going to read about the prophecies of Adam. Okay? First thing, before I go there, I have to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay? And I'm going to try to prove something to you. And and if you say you got it, we'll move on. If you don't, we're going to stay there. Okay, then it says, then God said, let us make, somebody tell me the next word.
Mankind.
Whose Bible says mankind? Hallelujah. Your Bible's right. If your Bible says mankind, the Hebrew is correct. It was translated from the Hebrew correctly. If your Bible says Adam, if it just says man, then it's not correct, because God did not create one man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God created mankind. When I was at the Jewish synagogue, when I said, oh, he created one man on that day, they laughed at me. They said, you don't understand Hebrew. So they said, well, if you believe that, because the word says here, then God said, let us make Adam in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle of all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created Adam, man, right? In his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Okay? So God created mankind, but he created them, mankind. Okay? Now, if you don't understand that, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 6 real fast. And then you'll see what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Now watch this. It says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, Adam, for that he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. So my spirit shall not always dwell, shall strive with Adam. Is that man or mankind?
Mankind.
How come you understand that as mankind now? Why is it that you understand that as mankind? Because you figure there's more that have been birthed. You don't know that, but because the wording doesn't say, and then many men were there, and God says, I'm done with all of these men, right? Or he doesn't say, I'm done with all of humankind. He just says, God will not always strive, and then the Hebrew says Adam. The same word it says, let us create Adam. It always uses the word Adam, but your Hebrew is supposed to click in because it has to be in correction with the structure of the sentence and what is being said in the subject, okay? So now, if you believe that God created Adam and he created male and female, two people, and then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Two people. Because after he created them, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, now be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. To two people? You understand? But the Hebrew, they understood. No, he's talking about mankind. God created mankind that way, that day, okay? So I understood that time, at that time was like eye-opening to me. Wow, so that means that there weren't just four people on the earth.
Right.
Because if there were four people on the earth, when Cain was kicked out, why was he saying somebody out there might try to kill me?
Yep.
There's only the four of you, right?
Right.
So this becomes the prophecy, okay? This become the prophecy and the main prophecy of Scripture, okay? All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be in chapter 2 right now. You're in Genesis chapter 2? All right, here it is. It says, now, after the sixth day was done, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work. Okay? Now, that means God worked for 6 days. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. God just prophesied to you. Because a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So God just told you, I'm going to work for 6,000 years, and then in the 7,000, I'm going to rest for the millennial. And that's what God has promised us in the book of Revelation, that we will reign and rule with him in the millennium for 1,000 years. You understand? Because God is going to rest on his Sabbath day, but he did the structure in Genesis. But remember what the word says, all word is prophecy. I'm prophesying to you about a future thing, okay?
Amen.
So that was a prophecy. And then it says, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he rested from all of his work which God had created. This is the history of heaven and earth, when they were created in the day the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man, to till the ground. But it says, but a mist went up from, so wait a minute. First of all, he's saying, right now, this is the eighth day. He's already rested 7 days on the seventh day. Mm-hmm. Here's the eighth day, and he says, wow, there's no vegetation or plants or anything here. And he says, and there's no man to till the ground. What is he talking about? Because he already created man, and he already told them fulfill, and he already on the third day created plants and vegetables and all that, and he said he looked and he said it was good. Now he's saying there's none there. And then now he's going to do this. And he said, because there was no man there, right? Now he's going to create a man, okay? In verse 7, he says, the Lord God formed man, Adam, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, if I'm reading that in Hebrew, I'm going to realize that now he said Ha Adam. He's talking about a specific one man. When I say I'm tired of mankind, or I'm tired of man, I'm speaking not as a specific one, I'm speaking of mankind in general. You understand? So now he's saying, I'm going to create one man. This one man has to be different from the men that were created on the sixth day. Because with this one man, God is going to prophesy to you about your future. Okay? So here it is. And it says, and the Lord formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. So this one man has the breath of God inside of him. So the Spirit of God is now living inside of this one man that God created. This is not mankind. This is a different man that's coming with the Spirit of God inside of him. Now, I don't know if you've ever read this scripture, but Colossians says that God saw it, that the fullness of God lived inside Jesus, meaning the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word were all inside of Jesus. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him, but the rest of the world didn't. Do you understand?
Yeah.
He's the only one walking around with the Spirit of God living inside of him. And Adam in the garden is the only man that God ever breathed into.
Man.
He has the Spirit of God. But now God is like, okay, I'm creating this man, and it's not the seventh day because I rested on the seventh. I'm going to create him on the eighth day.
New beginning.
When does the week begin? When did your week begin? Sunday. Thank you. So when I get to Saturday, it's the seventh day. When I get to back to Sunday, it can either be the first day or it's the eighth day. You understand? So now, this Adam is being created on the eighth day, and something has to happen with this Adam because he's filled with the Spirit, but he has to be put to sleep. Because if he doesn't get put to sleep, he can't produce another life. He has to be put to sleep. So God put here, let's go to verse 18.
All right.
Let's go to verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field. Okay, so anyway, I'm just going to read 18, okay, because we don't want to get all into that. So it says, I will make him a helper go down to verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made him a woman. And what is he did? He brought her to the man. Okay, now, then it says, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. Okay, so now this first Adam has to be put to sleep. He has to be pierced in the side. Was Jesus pierced in the side?
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, what came out of him?
Blood
and water. And all the scripture says, by the blood and the water you are born again. Not just by the blood, but also by the water. So what Jesus is going to do, because he's the second Adam, he has to do everything that the first Adam did. And so the first Adam, even though he had the Spirit of God in him and he had no sin, he had to be put to sleep. Jesus had the Spirit of God in him and he had not sinned, but he has to be put to sleep. Why? To produce more life. And to produce you what? A bride. So once he's put to sleep, now when he comes back to life, now he's not where his bride and God are. You understand? The church is not. The church and the Holy Spirit is not where Jesus is. The church and the Holy Spirit are not where Jesus is.
Right.
That means, and the Holy Spirit's not going to go, hey, Jesus up there in Zion, she's ready, come and get her. He's not going to do that. He has to, it says, and God took the bride where? To him. So if the church is still here and the Holy Spirit is still here, that means you haven't fulfilled prophecy yet.
Right.
You have to be taken to the second Adam to fulfill this prophecy.
Yeah.
Until the church is taken to the second Adam, prophecy has not been fulfilled.
Right.
So you may be able to understand the position that you're in is that you're holding back a great war that's supposed to happen in the earth, because the war can't happen until the Holy Spirit, which is God,
mm-hmm.
takes the bride to Adam, second Adam, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. I have to find my other scriptures and I'm ready. Okay, now, we're going to talk about fulfilling scripture, fulfilling prophecy, okay? Because remember, what day was Adam created on?
Eighth day.
Sunday. Sunday morning, Adam was created. Adam was created on a Sunday. Do you realize that? Because God had rested on the Sabbath. Did God rest on the Sabbath?
Yes.
The seventh day he rested. On the eighth day he created Adam out of the ground. So that means the next Adam that come has to come out of the ground. He has to come out of the ground, but it has to be on the eighth day. Did Jesus come out of the ground on the eighth day?
Yeah.
What happened Sunday morning, resurrection day? He comes out of the ground and it says early on the first day of the week, which is the eighth day, Sunday, Jesus came out of the ground and resurrected. So that means the first Adam is created from the dust of the ground when? On the eighth day. The second Adam is created what? From the ground, who comes up out of the ground on the eighth day. They both come out of the ground on the eighth day. And now the second Adam is awaiting his bride, who has to be brought to him. Okay? The bride has to be brought to him.
Amen.
Let me finish this up. So if you guys want to know why we worship on Sunday, it's called the Lord's Day. And it's called the Lord's Day because it is the day that Jesus came out of the ground. And now what does Adam say? God brings him his bride. What does he say? Whoa, man. No, he didn't say that. That's an old joke. He brings his wife, and what does Adam say? Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, right? He's saying, thank you. You had me naming all the animals, the cows, but I don't have nobody.
Right.
But now you've brought someone that has the same body and the same blood and the same body that I have. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, just like me. How are you going to be just like Jesus when you're presented as a bride? You have to be in a resurrected body. Because when Jesus is in heaven, he's in a resurrected body. Remember, he resurrected, then went back to heaven. So when his bride is presented to him, he can't go, flesh and blood. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. You can't inherit or get married with your flesh and your blood. You have to get married in what? In a resurrected body. Therefore, the scriptures is now letting you know. Two will be in one place, one will be taken, and the other one left. Why? Because the bride has to have a resurrected body. Or else she's not like his blood. She's not like his body.
Right.
She's not like Jesus. But our desire is to be like him. When you see him, you shall see him as he is, because you will be as he is, like him. You understand? You will be in a resurrected body.
Yes.
So this is what God is doing. But the fulfillment of it hasn't happened. But it's staring you right in the face.
Yes.
In the last times, in this last hour. And all this prophecy has been fulfilled. Israel's back in the land. 1967, they get back Jerusalem. 2017, God says he controls the hearts of men. A man announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yeah.
So God has the whole world inside of his control. If he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's the one that said Babylon will be the first world ruler in the world. Then will come Persia. Then will come Greece. And then will come Rome, which is the great and terrible beast. But that beast will come back. And then there'll be another final beast. And then Christ will come and rescue. Right?
Yeah.
So if you look at any of your encyclopedias, they're going to tell you the same thing. Babylon was the first world empire. Persia was the second world empire. And I'm talking about a secular encyclopedia. It's going to tell you that Daniel was right. You understand?
Yes.
And so all prophecy has been fulfilled. Okay? Jesus spoken of as being crucified on a cross was spoken about in Genesis. Okay? So they waited quite a long time, 4,000 years, before the Lamb could even come and be crucified on the cross. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. The first Adam that God created, God counts off 1948 years. And then you have the father of Abraham begins to have children. Abraham is the birth of the nation of Israel, right? So now Jesus is born, the second Adam. You count off on 1948 years, and the nation of Israel is born again, right? So that means God controlled time almost 5,000 years making sure both 1948 happen exactly when he says. But you think that God forgot about the rapture. Because you think that God's not going to fulfill his word. Because you think that God, the word is not prophecy. The word prophecy means it's being said to be fulfilled. Prophecy does not mean it's being said to never happen. Prophecy means it's being said, God is saying it, because it's going to be fulfilled.
5 minutes.
And this is what stands before us. I'm going to read from Thessalonians chapter 4, because if I read from the Old Testament, it's going to say that the righteous people avad to save them from the evil. Okay? Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 said righteous people are going to disappear from the earth to save them from evil. Okay? And God put that there to let you know what? I'm trying to spare you from evil.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be kind of bad, but it won't be that bad. We'll just cooperate. Listen to what God is telling you. Righteous people are going to be disappearing to spare them from evil. Okay? It's bad enough what they're doing right now. They're trying to poison the whole world. Population decrease is a reality. It's staring the whole world in its eyes. They're trying to get rid of as many people as possible. But you have set before you, even in this month, the wheat harvest in the 121st year, or the 2021, you have Pentecost right in front of you, which is the wheat harvest. The end of the prophecy is 2028 Yom Kippur. From the time that the peace agreement is signed to the time of Yom Kippur 2028 is only 2,541 days. You understand? It's only 2,520 days is a 7-day year. But from this year, you only have about that much time. The 7 years, the 2,520 days that's set for the tribulation, okay? If you said, okay, the rapture happens October 16th, there would only be 2,541 days till the absolute end of the prophecy. See, we never had this before. That's what I love about the rapture. You can't talk about it forever. You know why? You can't talk about Israel being rebirthed again forever. You know why? It has a marked date.
Right.
You can't talk about the rapture forever.
Right.
You know why? It has a marked date. It has a time that God said, this is the last generation. This is when it's going to happen. Okay? This is when Jesus is going to return. And if you were there for Wednesday and Thursday Bible study and you don't know where Yom Kippur is, then you don't understand that God has already designated the day that he's going to return, Yom Kippur. And if he says 80 years, he's already designated the year he's going to return, 80 years after the birth of Israel. And we're pushing it to Yom Kippur. So I'm saying you're standing right in the face of the fulfillment of the second Adam prophecy. Because the second Adam has to get a bride. And if the second Adam doesn't get a bride delivered to him, the word of God has failed us.
Yeah.
And it will not fail.
Amen.
And it is impossible for God to lie. So people say, well, why are you, how do you get so, why are you so excited about the return of Christ? Why? I mean, you've been preaching it a long time, Pastor. Why are you still so excited about it? Because the person that spoke it has a 100% correct history.
Absolutely.
There's not one prophecy that he has spoken that didn't get fulfilled at the exact time that he said it would get fulfilled. And so that's why I'm still excited. If you want to know why, I read the Bible and I'm watching what God does. And then when 2017 and Trump comes forth and say that, I went, you use him to fulfill your prophecy? But God's like, my word is going to be fulfilled and I'm going to do it. All of it, not some of it, all of it.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I only have 5 minutes and I went on a rant. Are you in Thessalonians? Because I'm not. And I'm trying to get there. All right. Here we go. Now watch this. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We are very familiar with this verse, okay? Because I want us to know that the resurrections are planned. Everybody look at me and go, what? The resurrections are planned.
Resurrection.
What are the resurrections? The harvest seasons.
Yeah.
Harvest seasons of what? Of whatever the first fruit was. What was the first fruit? Jesus. And what did he do? Resurrected body. The harvest of the first fruit are planned. He already said the barley harvest would go first, and the Old Testament saints went exactly on the day that God said they would leave. During the Feast of First Fruits, they left. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. So when Christ resurrected, the Feast of Unleavened Bread began, and it says all the Old Testament saints came out of the grave and went into the holy city. And it happened exactly when the feast day was supposed to happen. The feast day for the church is the wheat harvest. Your turn is the wheat harvest, and it's right before us. And it's in 2021, and it's only 2,541 days before the end of the 80-year prophecy. Is this so much standing in front of us, and Christians are still struggling with truth? And rather they should put Jesus first or put the world first, because for the next 20 years, I got a plan for my next 20 years. And God is like, are you watching? Are you really watching what's going on? Are you looking at prophecy? Are you really looking at prophecy? Are you looking for me, or are you trying to make a place for you, yourself in the world? And I'm just trying to get people on board and understand. When you get to the wedding feast, you'll understand that it was worth it putting Jesus first, because he was telling you you're living in the end times.
Amen.
Here we go. Brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose. Do we believe that?
Yes.
All right. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. I know my mom is with Jesus right now. You know that?
Right.
She's not in a resurrected body, though, but they know it's coming. Right?
Amen.
According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Everybody who has died, okay, will get their resurrected bodies first. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Meaning, see, they're in heaven, but they have spiritual bodies. There's a spiritual body, there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. They're in heaven, but they have spiritual bodies. They don't want to be in heaven with spiritual bodies. They want to be in heaven with a natural body. You don't want to know why? Because Jesus ate fish right before talking to the prophet. They want to be in heaven with the same body that Jesus had, but know what? It's not their turn yet. Their turn to get a resurrected body is when the church and those who have died in Christ are ready for their resurrected bodies. And that time is upon us.
Amen.
So he says here, with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive
and are left will be caught up, raptured, harpazo, lekach, whatever word you want to use, it's there, okay? And they will be caught up together with them, who? Those who have died in Christ, and you will be caught up and you will meet with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I'm trying to encourage you. Man, I'm trying. I want you to be encouraged, because I don't want you to be afraid of the future, which is what you, if I didn't know Jesus, man, I'd buy me some guns and a cage, and the future looks crazy.
Crazy.
The future looks crazy, okay? Either you get the poison or you can't live.
Right.
Either you do what we say or you can't. And you haven't seen the worst of it, because the next part that's coming is you can't buy or sell anything unless you get this other thing.
Right.
So remember, the prophecy is that a 6'6 giant is coming into the world. A 666 giant is coming into the world, who only the rock, Jesus Christ, can destroy and cut his head off. So the prophecy that he's coming, and the prophecy in Revelation chapter 13, that everybody will be to take the mark, which is 666. And that, so the Bible is telling you, now this is what, the word of God is prophecy. The Bible's telling you. I'm not surprised at what's happening. The Bible tells you. They said, well, you know, on this vaccine that they're giving us, they have this, it's the code number, patent is 060606. I was like, yep. Of course. The Bible already told me this was coming, right? Now they're going to build these statues. You see the statues that they're building? They're building these statues where they can put any image on these statues. And now they put some Hindu god on a building in New York. Do you think they're not going to put something on that statue? But they're preparing the world to look at this giant and to bow down and worship him, just like Babylon.
Yeah.
So it's all coming. I'm just saying, the word of God is prophecy. God says he's going to fulfill everything. One of the fulfillments is, my son is here in heaven. He doesn't have a wife yet, but he's going to get one as soon as the trumpet blows.
Yeah.
So stay ready. Praise God.
Amen.
Good work.